Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back into Sports Talk. Kendall Rogers, managing editor of D1Baseball.com, joining us now. How you been, Kendall? How's this baseball season been treating you?
It's been going pretty good. I think when you look at, you know, what LSU's done so far this year, obviously a little bit disappointing, to say the least. I thought this was a team that, you know, I think, you know, expecting a back-to-back national championships is a little bit, you know, a high bar, but I thought this team would certainly be in a much better position than they're in right now.
I was going to lead off with that exactly. Obviously, the defending champs, the target on your back. Everyone was expecting a little bit of a dip this season, but man, 3-9 right now in conference play. But there's still hope the Tigers can dig themselves out of it. Even though, man, oh man, the schedule's not getting any easier for them.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, there's no team in America that'd probably love to play those guys when they're down more than Tennessee and Tony Vitello. You know, I will say this about LSU. I think this is a team that I wouldn't count them out. I think counting LSU out in baseball is just a bad, it's a bad approach. You know, I think they're a program that can always turn things around. But I think the biggest thing when you look at LSU is they got to be more consistent, man. Like, it just seems like one night the pitching is good, you know, then the offense is bad. The next night the offense is good and the pitching's bad. They're just not a single night where everything's kind of on the same page. And I think that time is coming at some point. The problem is, when you look at their SEC record, you know, time's running out a little bit. And if you lose that series this weekend, I mean, you're really in a position down the stretch to where, you know, hosting's out of the equation. It's just you got to find a way to get to 13 or 14 wins just to get an NCAA tournament. And if they lose that series this weekend, that pathway is extremely difficult.
Yeah, and Kendall, looking at this series before we kind of get into things, I want to kind of talk about what you had said about LSU. For me, watching them this year, I feel like the mental side of things has been kind of up for question, I would say, because they've had a couple games where they've lost some really, really tight games to good teams like Florida and Arkansas. And if you look at, you know, they've been run ruled three times in SEC play so far, and they've all been game threes. And a lot of the times it's been after a really tough loss. They don't rebound very well. And we've talked to a couple different people about their offensive inconsistencies. And, you know, a lot of those questions kind of come down to the leadoff hitter. They haven't figured out that leadoff role. Like, a couple guys have been in it. Ethan Frye's been in it. Obviously, Mac Bingham's been in it, the transfer from Arizona. But last night, I think LSU may have found a little bit of something by putting Jared Jones in the leadoff spot. And going to a place like Tennessee, where it's a very hitter-friendly ballpark, I think that's very conducive to a lot of power. And Jared Jones getting more at-bats, I think that's a perfect kind of formula for LSU's offense.
Yeah, I mean, Jared Jones is like the last person coming this season that I would have thought would be in their leadoff spot. I mean, at some point, you got to try something, right? And, you know, the thing about playing at Tennessee is I think you made a great point because I think this is a weekend where, you know, do I expect LSU to win that series? Probably not. But what that is, that's a ballpark that is conducive to long ball, and it's one of those ballparks that, you know, LSU can run into a few balls, and all of a sudden the complexion of the series is totally different than what we expected. So, again, I think it's going to be an interesting weekend. I think we're going to find out everything we need to find out about this team and its mental kind of state this weekend. Because the thing about this club mentally, that's another good observation because, you know, I thought last week, you know, when Jay Johnson came out saying, oh, you know, I want to get rid of cell phones in the locker room and things like that. When you have to go to those links, that means things probably aren't great from a clubhouse standpoint. And so that's another thing I've kind of thought about over the last week as well, just the fact that Jay feels like he even has to go to those links at this point in the season.
Right. Let's talk about Tennessee here, Kendall. And looking at them as a team, the thing that stands out, sticks out like a sore thumb, they're hitting .338 as a team, and they're 7-5 in the SEC, but they have six games where they scored over 11 runs against SEC pitching. And I mean, like 59 runs in their last five games, 4-1 against Georgia and Auburn. Like, yeah. These guys can put up some runs in big bunches.
Yeah, you know, they're really reminiscent of the club, you know, at least in terms of the streakiness of the club a couple of years ago that was so good. They're just one of those teams, man, when they get rolling, they're like a freight train. They can be had, but, I mean, they're very tough to slow down when they get going. And the one thing that I will say about Tennessee is as good as its offense is, this is not a team that pitching-wise that LSU is going to go in the weekend and go, oh, man, we're in trouble, you know. They don't have Chase Burns anymore. He's at Wake Forest. You know, Drew Beam pitched well against Auburn, but he has been hit this year. You know, the same kind of goes for A.J. Causey and Xander Seacrest. So, I mean, you know, the bad news is they're really good offensively. The good news is they're not, you know, they're not invincible from a pitching standpoint. Maybe that is something that's kind of an equalizer with LSU this weekend.
Yeah, I see tough with the Tennessee Volunteers, too. Obviously, home record of 22-2, so won't be easy on the road in Knoxville for the Tigers.
No, it will not be. It's just, you know, it's one of those things that if you're LSU, you've got to get off to a really good start in game one. You've got to kind of set the tone because I think this is one of those, I think LSU in general is a team right now, especially mentally, that they just need to taste success against a good team. I think once they do that, I think they'll start to feel it a little bit, but you can just see it. I mean, I didn't see the game against McNeese in the midweek, but I mean, you can see it in some of these Sunday games. You know, the hamster wheel spin in their heads a little bit. And, you know, sometimes when you're the national champion, we've seen it with Ole Miss, Mississippi State the last couple of years, sometimes it's tough to handle you getting everybody's best shot. And, you know, at some point you've got to either, you know, fix that, you've got to adjust to that, or you're going to find yourself sitting at home during the postseason.
Yeah, this Tennessee team is pretty interesting, Kendall. I think we were talking with Joe Healy in the preseason about the biggest transfers, and Billy Amick was one that popped up, the Clemson transfer for third base that's playing at Tennessee right now. I know he's missed a couple weeks in a row. I think Coach Vitello said that it's possible that he plays this weekend, but, I mean, he's been hitting awesome on the season, but he's just one of multiple guys. Like, if you look at the OPSs of these teams and, like, that batting average of these players, like Blake Burke and all these different guys, they have, like, seven or eight guys that have OPS above one. Which is just, I mean, you talk about the pop and the power in these bats. Like, yes, maybe their pitching staff's a little bit vulnerable, but it's going to be a huge challenge for LSU's pitching staff this weekend.
Yeah, it's really interesting. They've got a lot of guys who have really improved. You know, Kavaris Tears has taken a big step forward this spring. He's hitting for a lot of power, hitting for a solid average. You know, Dylan Dreiling was a guy that last year, you know, certainly, you know, arrived in Knoxville with certain, you know, plenty of fanfare, and he's kind of taken the next step. But the biggest thing for me, when I look at this lineup, is Blake Burke. I mean, Blake Burke was kind of known the last couple of years as like a bad pitcher bully. He would hit, you know, 480-foot bombs off bad pitchers, but would get chewed up a little bit by good pitchers. Well, this year, the strikeout-to-walk ratio is better. He's showing a more advanced offensive approach, and he's hitting everybody, not just the bad pitchers. So, that you know, Blake kind of taking that big step forward for me is really like the X factor when I look at Tennessee's offense this spring.
Looking at the lineup for the LSU Tigers, Kendall, I'm really perplexed by a guy, Paxton Kling. Really expected a lot more from him this season, just batting .203 right now. One home run, 23 ribbies on the year. 15 RBI, 23 total bases. What's your take on him, and is he going to snap out of it ever this season?
Yeah, it's getting to the point, right, where you kind of wonder if he is. I mean, you know, I think coming into the season, like, he would have been my X factor. And, you know, Jake Brown, I think I would have thrown in that mix too. But, you know, I hate to throw that kind of, you know, pressure on a freshman. I really like Jake in the fall. I think had he stayed healthy, and granted, you know, I think he had a big hit last night. But, I mean, you know, he's one of those guys that had he stayed healthy, I think he'd be just fine right now. But, you know, Paxton, you know, we all kind of thought that, you know, he's athletic. He's got versatility. He's got speed. And we all thought he'd take a big step forward offensively. He just hasn't done that. And that's really, really hurt this offense. I think if you can get a guy like him who can hurt you in a lot of ways, if you can get him hot, it changes that dynamic of your entire offense. Because then if he does get red hot, he's a guy that you can kind of move to the leadoff spot. And it gives you, you know, a guy that can, you know, easily get on base with a infield hit or something like that. So, yeah, I think down the stretch, I think if Paxton Kling finishes the season hitting where he's hitting now, I don't think you're going to see a huge record improvement out of this team the rest of the year.
Yeah, and I mean, the sophomore improvement is just so important. Obviously, Jared Jones has kind of taken that next step, but Brady Neal is another one that we have to kind of see make a big move for the Tigers to make a push for the SEC. I mean, if you're looking at the schedule, Kendall, I'm going to look a little bit ahead of Tennessee. I think that I have one more question about Tennessee, but looking at Missouri was, you know, at the bottom of the SEC, and then they sweep Florida. It was one of the biggest surprises of this past weekend, so that's obviously not a gimme. Auburn's been off to a tough start, but they've played a just ridiculous schedule, kind of like LSU. And then they have, you know, number three, Texas A&M, and wrapping up the season against Alabama and Ole Miss back-to-back. For LSU to get to, you know, the postseason, as you mentioned, 13 wins. I mean, at this point, you're 3-9 in conference play. Does it make this weekend series a must-win to potentially get to that point?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make it a must-win, but I tell you what, if you lose that series, like, you've almost have to be, you know, you have to be perfect. But, I mean, you pretty much have to win every single remaining series to get to that, you know, comfortable kind of 14-win mark. So, yeah, in that regard, I mean, it's very important. I think what they have to do is they definitely have to win a game this weekend. I mean, I think if you get swept and you're, what, 3-12 in conference, I mean, that pathway is outrageously difficult. And I think also if you get swept, I think the mental, you know, state of this team is going to really suffer as well.
Yeah, I would agree 100%. And we, as already mentioned, that they haven't done very well when mental pressure is put on them. Looking at this matchup this weekend, once again, Kendall, obviously Luke Holman has been great for LSU as their Friday guy, their kind of ace of the staff.
Yeah.
He's been a little bit worse on the road, so there's a little bit of concern there. But if you can, you know, pick up that win with your ace on the mound, I mean, who else needs to step up for this team? Is it Gage Jump for them to win this weekend series? Is it someone, you know, Thatcher Hurd, who's kind of been in and out of the bullpen more recently? He's been really inconsistent. Who do you think really needs to be that piece to step up on the mound for LSU to potentially get this series?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Holman would be the obvious one just because I do think he has the ability to go out there and have precision command, and that's extremely important against a team like Tennessee. But, I mean, at this stage, I mean, you know, Gage Jump's coming back from an injury, so, you know, I don't know if I want to throw all that pressure on him. I think the guy for me that I feel like just needs to step up, and we know we talk about Kling from an offensive standpoint, but how about Thatcher Hurd from a pitching standpoint? You know, at the end of last year, he was really good in Omaha, and we all kind of thought, you know, given his spin rates and things like that, that he would be really good this year, and he just has not been very good. So, again, I think this weekend and beyond, they need a guy like him to step up, because when you have a guy who, you know, is up to 95, 96 of his fastball, still, I mean, to his credit, still has elite spin rates on his breaking ball, and he's struggling, I mean, that's just a killer. I mean, it just puts a lot of pressure on guys. And, you know, it's put up a lot of pressure on the bullpen. Like Nate Ackenhausen, for instance, has not been the same guy that he was even at the beginning of the year. And so I was just saying, I think what happens is when you struggle like they have on the mound at times, everything just kind of compounds. And, you know, that's just kind of what's happened with this team so far this season.
Looking at the rest of the SEC, Kendall, just curious right now, if you had to put your top five in power rankings, how would you rate the conference?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now, I mean, for me, Arkansas and A&M are the two best teams. I think when you look at the Aggies and just what they have at the top of their offensive lineup, they've got good pitching depth. Arkansas, you know, pitching, 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 and a little bit more pitching. And, you know, the thing about Arkansas, too, is I think offensively, the thing I like about them is they kind of know who they are, right? Like, you know, they don't have Brady Montgomery in their three or four hole, but they know who they are and they step up when they need to. I mean, Kentucky, it would be disrespectful at this point, given the fact they're 11-1 in the conference, to not list them here. Again, I think they're one of those teams. I saw them in Round Rock earlier this year. Again, they're not ultra flashy. They don't have superstars all over the place or what they are. They play really good defense up the middle with Grant Smith and Emilian Petre. Right now they're very offensive. They have a really good offensive approach. They put pressure on you. And they pitch at a higher level than I would have thought. So, you know, they would be in that mix for me too. And then the list gets to Tennessee, Vanderbilt in that order for me. Tennessee's probably ahead of Kentucky in my pecking order. But those would be kind of the teams for me. You know, in Vanderbilt, I'm still not 100% sold on Vandy, just because if you look at their offense in SEC play, and I think they have, 9 homers as a team in SEC play, whereas, like, A&M, for instance, who they play this weekend at College Station, has 24. I mean, that's a massive difference. So it's going to be interesting down the backstretch here, and we'll kind of see how things stack up.
Kendall, one of those teams has kind of fallen apart recently. We already mentioned their loss, their actually sweep at Missouri. But what happened to Florida? Ooh. I mean, this is a team that we watched come to Baton Rouge and take 2 or 3 from LSU at Alec Box Stadium. And then just last night at Florida State, in a nationally televised game on ESPN2, they just got smoked. Like, I know that they've had their pitching issues. Is it just that? Yeah. Like, what has happened with this Florida team?
Well, it almost kind of sounds like LSU struggles on her words a little bit, in the sense that, like, I don't think LSU's in as bad of a mental state as Florida is. But the thing about Florida is they have not pitched well all season long. And their offense, to me, is not ultra explosive outside of maybe Colby Shelton, Tyler Shelnut, and Jack Caglione. You know, outside of those guys, you would not look at their offense and go, oh, man, that's a crazy explosive offense. So when your pitching is not very good and your offense is, I would say, kind of front-loaded, that's just a recipe for disaster. And I think what's happened to them, they don't have a lot of premium, you know, pitching depth right now. And, you know, they're having to use guys up on the weekend. And the other thing about Florida, too, is if you go back and look at their series wins in conference, I mean, they basically hung off the deer life against A&M. And, frankly, I mean, Mississippi State should have taken 2 or 3 from them. Mississippi State just blew the game in the end by walking people left and right. So, I mean, they theoretically should probably have 2 more series losses. So they played with fire a lot this year, and boy, are they getting burned.
Kendall, before we let you go, I wanted to ask you about your article about the Meet Louisiana's hottest team in college baseball. My cohort over here is a raging Cajun alum, and when he found out you were coming on today, he was excited. He's like, oh, man, I got to ask Kendall about the Cajuns.
I was just about to do it. Steve jumped me, beat me to the jump there, Kendall. But, yeah, the Cajuns, I mean, they're playing tonight. They're actually losing to La Tech as we speak. It's a 5-2 game right now. The pitching's obviously been a little bit struggling early on there. But the Cajuns, 16-game winning streak. I went and saw them this past weekend. I watched game 2 of their weekend series against UL Monroe. I mean, they're just a complete team. They're the complete package this year. And I know that you watched them as well in Houston at Minute Maid Park in that weekend series where they played, obviously, Houston, they played LSU, and they played Vanderbilt. They actually went winless in that stretch. But ever since they lost their opener in Sunbelt play to Arkansas State, who's not a very good team, they've just gone on a ridiculous run.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing for Matt's club is the fact that they have kind of – They've kind of finished games since then. If you think back to the Astros Foundation Classic, they couldn't finish games. You know, Andrew Herman threw really well against LSU. They played well against Houston at times, but they could not finish out games. And what they've done, I kind of detailed this in the article, is, you know, Matt kind of went back to the drawing board and said, hey, listen, you know, opposing teams are throwing a lot less pitches than we are, and that's because we're not taking enough pitches. We're not being more selective in the strike zone. So they've just kind of revamped their offensive approach. They're a lot more selective in the zone. They're by default, I guess, throwing more strikes on the mound. And, man, you're right, they're balanced. And the thing about, you know, that I like a lot about the UL is the fact that, you know, their pitching has been really deep this year. You know, they look good on paper coming into the season, but, you know, you just never know until the season starts. But, you know, if you look at the rotation right now, I mean, you know, Carson Fluno's back. You know, you look at the job that Chase Morgan has done, the talent at the Houston area you know, product, you know, LP and the Langevin, or I get all these mispronounces.
I got it. He's Big Maple. Yeah. Just call him Big Maple, the big right-handed pitcher.
Big Maple. Yeah, I mean, you look at the job that he's done. You kind of mix him. You kind of combine him with Herman. It's a totally different look.
Yes.
It's a more of a power look. So they just have a lot of different looks. They've got really good pitching depth. So I think this team's dangerous. And, you know, at some point, the 16-game winning streak is going to end. But, I like the way they look right now.
In looking at the Sun Belt Conference, I think we've talked to you about this, Kendall, and how well it's respected. I think, you know, if you're looking at the best conferences in college baseball, it's up there in the top five for sure. And you're looking at the standings right now, UL with an 11-1 conference record, trailed by Southern Miss at 8-4. Georgia Southern, who just swept Georgia State, which was a really fun series, they're also 8-4. Coastal Carolina at 7-5. I think that this, you know, last year I think it was a four-bid league, if I'm not mistaken, Kendall. I think it could be something like that again this year. But my question for you is, if UL, you know, let's play a little bit of guessing game, because they do have Marshall and then they have Coastal Carolina and then on the road, and then they come home to host Southern Miss. That's a very important 3-week series for this Cajun squad. I mean, if you're looking at them right now, they're ranked number 19 in the D1 baseball polls. Like, how many conference wins do you think that they need to get to potentially be in the hosting conversation once regional play comes around?
Yeah, they're a weird team in the sense that, like, we like them, the human polls like them. But the RPI is not a fan yet. I mean, they're sitting at 50 in the RPI. So, you know, they got a lot of ground to make up from an RPI standpoint. The good news is that league is a lot better than it, you know, the last 2 years at least, the last 2 or 3 years, that league's a lot better than it was 4 or 5 years ago. So, you know, in the past, I feel like if you're 50 in the RPI in the Sun Belt at this stage of the season, you were kind of screwed. Well, I don't think that way anymore. I think if you're looking at having a Coastal, we're going to have a Southern Miss in your schedule. You're talking about the conference tournament. You know, there is a pathway to get in hosting contention. I think if you're a Cajuns fan, you really want to be inside 30. You want to be 30 or better in the RPI. So that would be my magic number. If they can win that conference and be inside 30 in the RPI, which is very, very attainable at this point, I think they would be right there in the middle of the hosting conversation.
Kendall, thank you for stopping by. I appreciate the time.
You got it, gentlemen. You have a good night.
Thanks, Kendall.
Kendall Rogers, managing editor for D1Baseball.com. Can check out his work. And actually, the whole staff there is fantastic. We always get Joe Healy, Mark Etheridge on. Great information from them.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.